is the Seahawkers podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me is a very angry, frustrated, and a third adjective I'm sure we're about to find out about, my good buddy Adam Emmert.
Yeah, that was that was a season that was purportedly football. What the
catfish?
Seriously, what the
catfish?
God, this is everything that I couldn't stand to have happen in this world when it comes to football, and it just did.
And it happened.
And the NFL won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've already got the comments coming in via Discord, via email. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll have the comments in the chat as well. Delwyn, I blame the refs. Yeah, that's one way.
It's part of it.
One place
certainly part of it.
You could put the blame. Monet, it's a crime in the Discord. Catfish the Rams, catfish the refs, and catfish the catfishing. All the freaking talks we'll have to hear about how deserving they were and how Ramsey should have got a flag. Yep. And I don't even know what other catfish. Dirty catfish them. They are not holy. And I hope the Rams suck and rot at in last place for a century of catfish after selling their soul to the devil and Roger catfishing Goodell. Oh, I forgot. Catfish all the talk about how McVay is so smart and his innovative approach to the draft. It's true, though. No one knew you could draft referees.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to get to hear, right? Because how many first-round draft picks did the Rams have playing in this game that they had drafted? I'll make it easy for you.
Yeah, one.
And so everybody's like, oh, well, you can just give away all your first-round draft picks and, you know, pick a mercenary team.
Until the Aaron Donalds of the world dry up on your team, which it before the game started, we got our one bright spot. Of hope. Now, I don't know how much I believe the fact that Aaron Donald will actually retire after getting a ring, but please, 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 oh my gosh, please let that be the one piece of good news that we get out of this atrocity.
Oh, for the love of everything that's holy in the universe, for the love of Christ, please. Please let McVay retire and go do broadcasting and hang out with his new wife. Please let Aaron Donald just fade off into the sunset so I never have to see his face again. Please, God, let the curse that should unfold on this franchise begin this next season, because they did. They sold out everything for this 1 year, and I'll be damned if the league wasn't going to let it fail. And boy, it just came to fruition. And I know a lot of people are going to sit here and be like, look, guys, like, I mean, look at that call with the touchdown right coming out of halftime. That was bullshit.
Catfish!
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Catfish!
That should have been flagged. But it was also awesome. At the beginning of...
loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. But it should have been called. It absolutely should have been called. There's no doubt about it. There's no denying it. However, that was at the beginning of the third quarter.
Right.
When the game was on the line, when it was time for this all to come to a head, when the Rams were on the ropes and their season was slipping out of their fingers, a game in which the referees let them play all game long.
Up until now. But the thing was, when they were down on the goal line and Stafford threw the touchdown to Kupp, that would have been the go-ahead where they called holding on the offensive line, which was kind of a ticky-tack holding call on the Rams offensive line. And then they called the hit on Kupp, which was just, you know, a normal hit of a dude catching the ball in the end zone. Yeah. So it was, at least it was offsetting, but I, you know what? And I also have to give some blame to the Bengals for that entire drive. Who got the ball the entire way down the field? It was Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp.
Cooper
Who
Cup,
would have Cooper thought Cup, Cooper Kupp would have Cooper gotten Cup. The ball as the only healthy player still available? I mean, I guess you had Van Jefferson and IKEA dude, but yeah, they had, it was Cooper Kupp, and he deservingly got the MVP for it.
He got the MVP. I swear to God, I threw my phone so far after that touchdown, and I immediately shut off the TV. I was not going to listen to Collinsworth go over and over again about, there's no one I've ever seen before as clutch as Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Oh, it's just amazing.
Was he homering in the opposite direction and just to make sure that he wasn't homering for the Bengals? Is that what was going on in this game?
Who signs his paychecks again?
Yeah, at the end.
No, that's all I'm saying. Like, it was so disgusting the way that game ended. And look, if we want to go back and actually have a real discussion about this, like, I'm just kind of doing my sports hate feels right now. And, like, we can have a real discussion about the real game here.
We should mix it in both equally, because I think we're feeling all these things.
Yeah, okay. So, like, first, I'm not done feeling the feels. And catfish them so much. Catfish them forever. Catfish that entire city. I was just there this morning. I was in L.A. this morning. I saw that place and all that it is and all their five fans walking around like they cared. God, it was so gross. This disgusting franchise, this disgusting fan base, this disgusting owner, our disgusting commissioner that just catfish wanted to rake it in this season. Oh God, this is just, it's so disgusting. So I had to get all of that out. Now, with that said,
no, I have some Bengals. More. I have some more. Image that will stick in my mind is of Aaron Donald with under 2 minutes to go with the Bengals with the football, and he's having to wave his arms to the stadium in which they play their home games to make noise.
Yeah.
Up by 3 points in the Super Bowl with less than 2 minutes, and you're waving your arms, trying to just begging the crowd that's in attendance to make some noise for you.
Yeah, they damn near lost the Super Bowl in the Niners Stadium. They damn near did. Yeah, it was so close. I gotta blame the Bengals a bit too, though. Like, they come out after halftime and they get the bomb and they get the touchdown. And then from that point, and they had actually mixed in the run game really well throughout the first half. And they even talked about it a little bit in the telecast, right? And you saw Mixon starting to rip off a few that were, you know, 9 yard gains, 14 yard gains, things like that.
With 5 yards of carry.
Yeah. Yeah. It started slowing down that Rams pass rush. And then for whatever reason in the third quarter, they completely abandoned it. They just went five wide almost all the time, or they had, you know, four wide in the back end. It was just so, yes, Ryan. Yes. Glad that's over with. Ready for our championship offseason. Go Hawks and catfish the catfish and Rams. God, catfish them so much. So it's just
a heavily uncatfished episode for those of you tuning in live via YouTube.
And God, Satan.
I think that's what we're all feeling. And so, yes, thank you to Ryan for the super chat. Ryan, you're our first super chat.
In 1,000% right and 0% wrong. Hit the nail on the head and just catfish them forever. Oh, just it was so frustrating. But the Bengals, man, the Bengals in the third quarter abandoned the run game.
They went five wide. They stopped picking up stunts so that Von Miller could just loop around the outside and come up the middle every single freaking time. And Joe Burrow nearly got himself out of the game because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. They damn near killed Joe Burrow in the process. Right. And look, I don't understand the thought process. I mean, the Rams just started teeing off on Joe. Like, I mean, they weren't even beginning to think about playing the run at that point. We couldn't buy a screen. You couldn't buy I can't believe I'm saying this. Couldn't even throw a bubble. Could throw a bubble, anything to just get the ball out of his hands quickly. Yeah,
something.
And then I don't understand their game plan from the passing angle too, because a lot of it was, well, let's target Ramsey. We're going at Ramsey. Don't care. We're not afraid of Ramsey. Well, I'm glad your balls are big. That's great. That's great. It might make up for the lack of a ring on your finger at this point. God, it was just so frustrating. They should have been running the hell out of the ball with a little bit of a lead. They could have milked the clock down. And then I had texted you in the DCH. I'm like, bring in an extra offensive lineman, two tight ends, double down on the run. Like, this is where you need to go. And then they did it. And guess what happened? They started moving the ball.
They did move the ball, but then didn't they get into like a third and fourth and short again and failed to get it? I know there were a couple times where they got in those short situations and they just could not convert.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. But at least it got them into those situations instead of a incomplete first down, Joe Burrow sack on second, and then third and 17, which is what we saw for the majority of the third quarter.
Yeah. And we got,
gave him a chance.
We had two interceptions. And I say we as we Bengals fans.
We anybody but Rams.
We got two interceptions from Matt Stafford in this game. If you would have told me that ahead of this game and that Burrow would throw zero, I would have said, all right, here we go. Bengals win. But they still
had a chance.
It felt so much like they took their foot off the gas in the second half for the Bengals. And I didn't expect that because they had, they showed early in this game. What was it? Their first possession where they got into fourth and one when they're right toward midfield. And there they go. They're going for it. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, you should, because this, you have to keep your foot on the gas at all times, especially against this team. And it seemed like they let up a little bit in that second half.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so much that they let up is that they kept trying to run intermediate pass plays that their offensive line couldn't hold up to. They were just getting whipped. And, Burrow was doing his best. I mean, I give Burrow credit. I think he played about as well as you can in the situation. It's just really difficult considering the pass rush and the fact that I feel like McVay was just like, screw him. We're not going to worry about the run. We're just coming after Burrow every play. Good luck connecting those 50 yarders. They did get stuffed in those short situations. And that would have been huge too, if they could have just picked up a couple
down here, first down there.
And they did go for it on that fourth early in the game and they did get stuffed. And then they gave up a touchdown
right after that.
Right. And so there's the downside for going on it on fourth and short. Now, with that said, I'll be totally honest with you. I was saying go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it. And it is. You live by the sword and you die by the sword.
But at the same time, it's the same thing. The Bengals play that same kind of bend but don't break style defense. And so.
But tackle better than we do.
I think they attack the football once it's thrown better than we've seen from the Seahawks defense. But it's with that idea, though, that when you play that style of defense, okay, if it's middle of the field, you're just, saving yourself from a couple cup completions or a couple OBJ completions at that point to where they would have got to midfield anyway.
Yeah. I never root for anybody to get injured. I'm sorry that he did get injured. I wasn't sad when OBJ went out of the game. One of the least likable dudes in the NFL to me. I've never enjoyed his antics. I've never enjoyed his persona.
I don't enjoy
the fact that he quit on Cleveland within 30 seconds of arriving there and continued to tank for a year and a half. And then when he finally gets to LA, now he's going to try again. And not only that, but we heard the fun anecdote about how he decided to go out and recruit Von Miller.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Absolutely. A jerk for all of us. And I'm with you, though. I think there was a Patriots running back a while back. It was on he quit on the Steelers and then he went to the Patriots and got a ring. I hate to see that when guys quit on their team or, strongly want out of their current situation to and then end up in a great situation and get to win a ring. It's
OBJ is basically the Ben Simmons of the NFL. Brandon, you probably don't know that reference very well, but Ben Simmons, the point guard.
Less non-basketball fans.
Yeah, Ben Simmons, the point guard of the 76ers, signs a big deal, has 4 years left on his deal, plays in the playoffs last year, and notably can't shoot, and doesn't care to get better at it either. It's just this is how I play. And then refuses to dunk a wide-open dunk at the end of a game, and they lose the Game 7 and end up going home. Then sits out, just says, "No, I'm not showing up." It's mental health. You can't
drink beer and do live shows, dude. It's gassing you up.
I don't care. You guys all deal with it. This is it. The Rams make me drink, And so, yeah, I'm going to drink a little bit.
Now, but, Jay has the point. This was the most egregious flag of the game. And it was mentioned before.
On third down.
Was it third down?
Mm-hmm.
Because that one and they would have gone for it on fourth down in that position anyway. It was under 2 minutes. But yeah, that was allowing them to play the entire game. That's the moment that you're going to call holding when it was a bad throw behind Cup for one.
Yeah.
It was late.
Yeah.
And the hold it was barely existent. I mean, yeah, you can call that, but it's so ticky tack compared to all the other stuff that they could have called before.
He didn't hold him. He put his hand on him.
On his right hip, his hand like tugged ever so slightly.
I don't even think it tugged. He placed his hand there. Yeah. That was perfect defense. In live action, I was like, wow, holy crap, that linebacker can cover. Oh my goodness.
No. Yeah, that was good coverage.
Yeah. Jay knew. Yeah.
And he comes in with the super chat. I really thought the Bengals were going to win for like 98% of that game. Catfish the Rams so much. Yes, man, they were there. Once they got the lead in the second half, they got the touchdown and were up 20-16. Well, and then even when it was 20-16, it felt like they were in position. I kept waiting for that third Stafford INT that was going to, you know, just bury them.
You and me both. Andy, I was right with you, buddy. Like, I really did. Like, I was like, they might pull this off. And then at the end, even after the Rams scored their predetermined touchdown, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, the Bengals, the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they lost to the hands of Joe Cool in the last like 2 minutes on a touchdown to John Taylor. Like, new Joe Cool is going to bring them down. They're going to at least get the field goal, if not the touchdown, and he's going to reverse it, you know, because they deserve it, right? They deserve it after all this time. It's going to happen. The football gods are going to smile upon us. But, man, to both us and Andy, to our heartbreak,
well, and
money outweighs the football gods. So
I know there's a lot of overlap, too, with our show and people who listen to Around the NFL. So with Around the NFL and Chris Wessling, having it been a year since they did that show, like it was the show after the Super Bowl, because he passed right before the Super Bowl and they came on for the post game Super Bowl, and that was his team. And so all his brothers were there at the game. And so I was rooting for him for that emotional aspect of it too, for them. And yeah,
that'd have been awesome. Chris was such a cool dude. I mean, not that I knew him, but you know, at least his public persona.
Right.
I mean, is there a fan base that's suffered harder over the last like 15, 20 years than the Bengals fans?
No.
Like, we bitch a bit as Seahawks fans, but come on, man.
Yeah, Detroit. I mean, the Jets have had it rough for a long time, but yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
Jay back in. Bengals went conservative late third and fourth quarter. And where was Mixon in the third and one play? You have Pirine in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't quite understand the way that they mix backs and the way that they make that substitution, because I mean, P. Ryan's fine and all, but why would you have your third down back in there on a third and short? Now, I know the title is third round back, but that's like
throwing passes out of the backfield. Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, when they brought in the extra offensive linemen and two tight ends, they were able to push dudes around. And I just think there's a little bit more creativity to be had there. You know, maybe pull some linemen and things like that, but whatever.
And Jay had another point here, and I wanted to talk about that fourth and one play by the Rams, where talk about creative plays. I'm sure McVay is going to get all the freaking credit for handing off to Cooper Kupp on that fourth and one play.
Don't say his full name. It's like, if you say it three more times in the mirror, we might have to live through this again.
It's like Bloody Mary, right? It's you just don't say the three times in a row, or Beetlejuice, or any of those. What's Candyman? Don't say that over
and over. Yeah, and I think we all know which one the most evil is. It's Cooper Kupp.
There we go. We just said it again. Simultaneously. This is bad.
Oh, this hurts my head, dude. I'm struggling hard. There's not enough beer in the world.
I don't know what else to say.
To Jay's point, like, why don't you double Cooper Cup every single play? And it's like,
I think they had triple coverage on him on the one play over the middle. They had him doubled on each side. They had the linebacker in front, and Stafford still threaded it in there for that play.
Right. But, you know, Stafford's not an upgrade over Goff, so.
I maybe have to eat my words a little bit on that.
Yeah, there's a few people that do, I really don't like being right on that one. There's a lot of times I'm right that I don't like being right. It's gross. Well, it doesn't feel good.
Hey, if, you know, the rant, I did not consider the fact that not only would Stafford be a mild upgrade, but that the refs being in the Rams' favor, the NFL being in the Rams' favor, like all of that together is too much to overcome.
Yeah, it's too much. I do have a serious question, though.
Okay.
Russ was sitting next to Goodell, chatting his ear off. Was he hopefully maybe being like, so to get this rigged for you, like what does that cost? You want like a private music video sent to you from Ciara? Like, what can I do? What can I do? Like, is it money? Is it just money? I don't know. Like, can I put you in touch with Robert Kraft's girl down in Miami? What would it take? What would it take? Because I'm willing. That's what I hope Russ was talking about.
Yeah, and Ryan says Russ looked happy. So hopefully what they were doing is Russ was pitching to Raj saying, you know, Raj, I've got a great storyline for you for 2022. It goes like this. Yes, the Rams win the division, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl. But now it's time for Seattle after all these years. You know, we had our one down season. You'll have a worst to first storyline to go with if you put us back there. And then, you know, I don't have any MVP votes. We can knock out that storyline, talk about that for the year. And then, yeah, with Brady out, I can be your new Tom Brady. Let's make this happen, Raj.
Absolutely. Who else would you like to be the face of the league other than Russell Carrington Wilson?
Yeah.
The squeakiest of squeaky cleans.
Yeah. And so at that moment, I think when we caught the video, Rod said it was after the handshake. We didn't see it on camera, but it was right after the handshake of Roger saying, Russ, you know what? Great story. I'm going to put that in motion for 2022.
I love that idea. And of course, I mean, I hope you all, you know, understand we're tongue in cheek here. And this is, it's just kind of fun to play with these things, but
no, when we're doing fan fiction, you don't have to explain it to everybody.
Well, that's the thing is that you kind of do because, you know, people are people. Like, I mean, there's people in LA that are listening to this probably, and you have to explain everything to them. It just takes them a while to catch up. Yeah. So basically, as a Seahawk, like watching that Super Bowl, like if I was a member of the team and I had any sort of athletic ability, like, oh my God, my off-season workouts would be off the charts. Like I would be simmering so hard over this because they're not better. They're not. They're just not. Like you watch that game, the last game we played the Rams, they weren't better. They weren't.
Yeah, like scoreboard, but yeah, that's not like you looked at them.
But go back and listen to our episode then from that game. And once again, you'll see some calls.
There were a lot of calls. There were a lot of calls in that one.
Yeah.
Mike in Portland comes in, catfish the Rams, catfish the NFL scriptwriter for rigging this whole thing up. I hope their stupid team deteriorates over this offseason and the fake new fans, quote unquote, will move on from them. Catfish the Rams.
Oh, God, forever and ever and ever.
I've got to get this out.
I think the only silver lining here, like if we're going to kind of try to look forward, is they have sold out so much of their future for this run that they could be in shambles for a good, like one more year to compete. And it's then
the perfect time for McVay to eject. you got your Super Bowl. You can go make a ton of money on TV. Aaron Donald's leaving.
That hair gel doesn't buy itself. No. Like, go get that money.
You gotta fill the pool with hair gel while you can.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're 100% right. This is the perfect time for him to, I like the comment from Mike here. Holy crap, your faces. Sorry.
Here we are. This is us.
This is what it is. And everything that you had to say there in quotes, 100%. But yeah, please, McVay, eject now. I mean, would it be more obnoxious to hear him in the booth every week?
Oh my gosh. If he can use some of that hair gel on his vocal cords and gel them up so they don't sound like razor blades tearing through your ears, his voice is so dang annoying and scratchy.
Oh my god. It's like you take Patrick Mahomes' voice and take all of the fun out of it. Right. And like it insert just pain and suffering, and now you've got Sean McVay's voice. It's totally true.
It's the worst kind of mashup imaginable.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you it's from the fumes from the hair gel every morning. Like, you know, he's putting that in and it just
there has to be an operation, you know, much like, you know, when people like they have jacked up noses and they're going to be on TV or in movies, they go get a nose job.
Right.
Can you get a vocal cord job?
I don't know. If I were Sean McVay, if it hasn't been done, I'd be looking into that experimental surgery to see if I could be the first, you know. But somehow getting married, his fiance is going to have to listen to that voice say it's vows.
See, well, maybe that's the motivation to get those vocal cords just smoothed out, because yeah, for the whole life of marriage, for TV, and I don't know, maybe once he stops being a coach and has to yell at dudes all day.
Nope. Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going to hate him less. Nope.
Oh no, I won't hate him less. I hope that smooths out the tone a little bit.
He's in my sports hate pantheon forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And ever. And ever again.
More than BA? Where do you put him, above or below BA? He's above for me.
So to Andy's point here in the comment here, I'll tie those together. If Aaron Donald really left, that'd be fantastic. I root for Aaron Donald to leave the NFL after this game with Sean McVay. And for BA to get jealous of all the attention that Sean gets after retiring, and for them to then enter into some sort of like WWE wrestling match that Aaron Donald is the referee, and then Aaron Donald turns heel and mushes them both into one giant puddle of sports hate goo, and just then I don't have to deal with either one of them.
It's time for it to be over. Jacob comes in, says if Joe just had a little bit more protection or a little bit better protection.
So that's an interesting comment from Jacob, because I remember in the draft, they went after Chase, right? And they draft Jamar Chase, who undoubtedly is an amazing talent, right? And really helped their offense. And it was a big deal and a big reason why they were there. And so it's hard to look at the Bengals and be like, that was a bad decision. But at the time I was like, dude, you got to get some offensive linemen to protect this guy. He's mobile, but he's not that mobile. You know, like, he just blew out his knee. He's your franchise guy. And he clearly has the chops to be a franchise guy. I wonder, it's interesting. Would they have even been in the Super Bowl if they had drafted like Penei Sewell?
I don't think so. I think Chase was such a huge upgrade for them.
Yeah.
That Burrow-Chase connection this entire year. He was the offensive player of the year for the rookies.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's interesting. So do you trade that lightning in a bottle real quick for one season for the potential for Joe Burrow to be very successful for years and years and years by drafting offensive line? Cause you can see that offensive line cost them a championship Short of if there weren't other money interests involved.
I think it was mostly guards. I feel like they can go out and get guards, though. I don't know. I haven't watched the Bengals all season to know.
Have you been talking to Tom Cable again?
All the guards. Just draw all the guards. All the guards.
Yeah, we can go out and get guards anytime. Well, let's go get one or seven. Ask him to play whatever.
Hey, Tom Cable's available.
He is. He is. And I've heard some talk that they are looking at him as a replacement for Solari, who they just let go, which we'll get into on our full show and all that.
They're not looking at a replacement for Solari.
Solari's gone. They fired him.
I know. And Andy Dickerson, they moved him up as the.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So,
he was
the big redheaded. He looks like he was redheaded.
He's like Blake Griffin redheaded, I think.
No.
I don't know. I've only seen one picture of him.
Yeah. I think they had the wrong picture for a while too. Like that's how you know when you're a small fry in anything is when they show your picture and they get you with confused with some other person with the same name. That's, like for me, it would be some pit crew worker in NASCAR named Adam Emmert.
At least they didn't show Eric Dickerson's photo. That would have really been off.
Boy, he was salty before the Super Bowl. He and the Rams don't seem to get along at all.
It was the Jeff Fisher ruined it for him. I think he still holds a grudge on that. I heard him in some interviews talking about their conversation. And how he would never come back to a Rams game while Jeff Fisher was coach. So
there you go. Did he end up showing up to the Super Bowl?
I didn't see him. He was on Radio Row for interviews.
Oh,
I bet he was there. Yeah.
I don't know. He said he wasn't going to show up.
What am I, Eric Dickerson's babysitter? What are you asking me if he was there?
I thought you were his goggle polisher. No?
That would be cool if Dickerson still rocked the goggles.
Why wouldn't you? Like, that's a huge whiff on his part. He could brand the catfish
out of that. Andy Dickerson should rock Eric Dickerson's goggles as a tribute to his namesake, even though I don't think they're related at all.
No, that doesn't seem likely. No, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to have a conversation about Dickerson and his past and how it relates to Waldron and, you know, all that. To go back to the Super Bowl and to hear the phrase, the McVay coaching tree again and again, he's barely out of diapers.
Yeah. The two youngest coaches in the NFL. The McVay tree. Hey, we got a branch of that tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was excited about it. I was.
You're still chastely excited.
Oh, no, I am. I think Waldron's going to have a great year next year. Okay, I'm very much looking forward to that. It's just, it hurts my heart a little to think that it's, you know, picking off some of the great McVay's schemes, you know.
That's fine. He'll be in TV next year. Aaron Donald will be retired. We won't have to worry about going up against that guy over and over. He can go into the Hall of Fame with a ring, so we don't have to hear about, but he was so deserving of a ring, but he never got one, even after making it twice. He can walk right into the Hall of Fame. It'll be fine. He can go in with Brady. They can
start the clock now.
Start the clock. Here we go. And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Catfish the Rams.
And Go Hawks.
And Go Hawks.